I'm like really trying to convince Neil. And he's like, we can't buy a country house before we own a regular house. I'm like, why not?
Who says?
Who says?
Yeah.
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
This is an Acquired Taste podcast, the podcast for people who sometimes leave things for the last minute.
Yes, they do.
I'm Bethany.
I'm Kathleen.
And we are recording this the same day that it is being released.
Yes.
It is right now 11:30 a.m. Eastern time on Wednesday, February 20th.
Yes, it's our first morning edition of Acquired Taste ever. And I'm very excited. This is like a real morning show.
Yeah, this is true. So you're on vacation this week, Kathleen, which is why you're here this early.
Yeah.
And also, we're going to talk about it later, but Kathleen and I both had to take yesterday off, and Monday was a mess. We normally record on Mondays, and we were like, welp, we're just going to record it
The day that it's due. So stand by. Thank you for bearing with us.
Today we're going to talk. One, I have an issue that I think a lot of us have, which is I have a friend. Thank goodness she doesn't listen to the pod.
Yeah.
That I need to break up with this friend.
Like
this friendship has run its course. Yes. I need to end this friendship and I don't know how to do it.
Okay.
Because it's harder to break up with friends than it is with dudes or girls or whoever you're dating.
It's more complicated.
Yes. So we're going to talk about that. How do you break up with a friend? And then second of all, we're going to talk a little bit about why we're recording this day of, which is because Kathleen and I both had to take dark hole days yesterday.
Very dark hole.
Yeah. So we're going to chat about that a little bit too.
And and grab bag, because you know what? It's Wednesday morning and this is our fake morning show. So we'll do some headlines and throw them out there and see what's going on in the world.
Yeah. How was your weekend, Kathleen?
My weekend was fabulous. Mm-hmm. It was a long weekend. It was President's Day weekend. So my girlfriends and I, we rented a cabin in the Catskills.
How many girlfriends?
There were six of us.
Whoa.
Which is a lot.
That's
yeah.
A lot of girlfriends.
Which I'll bring up again later. It was it was complicated at times. No, okay. Complicated in the most lovely way.
Okay. All right. Okay, good.
And now I'm obsessed with owning a country house.
Oh, yeah. One should always have a country house to run away to.
Okay. So here's my theory on country houses versus beach houses.
Okay.
Because of global warming,
uh-huh.
Beach houses are no longer a good investment.
Right, because they're going to be underwater.
They're going to be underwater.
Yeah, you're going to die.
Country houses, you have access to mountains and snow.
Uh-huh.
But then, like, if you have a country house that's worth owning,
yes.
You also have access to like a lake,
a lakefront property.
Yes, exactly.
Can I ask?
not necessarily a lakefront property, but access to a lake near your.
Oh,
near your yeah. Because
which is smarter actually, because then you can just drive to the lake, but the lake won't engulf your entire house.
So I've dedicated my last 2 days to just pinning things for my non-existent country house on Pinterest.
Yes. Well, I think that that's a really good idea. I think that, you know, if one lives in a city, one should always be able to escape to the country.
Yes.
You know, at any moment. Now, did you Airbnb this establishment?
We did. And I want to show you photos. So the house that we stayed in actually has an Instagram account. Knock, knock, knock. Hello, 2019. And if you want to check out where I stayed this weekend, it's Bovina Farmhouse, Bovina Farmhouse. That's on Instagram.
You know it's a good house if it has its own name.
Yes, it does. And Bethany, let me just show you the kitchen. Look at those windows.
Wait, does this used to be a church?
No, it was just an old barn that they converted. And the house is basically filled with amazing leather Chesterfield. What's the name of that?
Chesterfield.
Leather sofas.
Wait, I need to follow this house on Instagram.
And antiques. And look, they have a Smeg fridge. Is that how you say it?
I have no idea.
Those fridges that hipsters love because they look like they're from the 1950s.
Is that the fridge that Indiana Jones survived the nuclear holocaust in?
You're asking the wrong person.
Okay, hold on. Was it like the Bovina B-O-V?
B-O-V-I-N-A farmhouse.
Bovina Farmhouse.
So I stayed in the master bedroom with my friend Megan, and the master has, it's one of these houses, it's gigantic master bedroom, and one wall, you just view the outside, you view the backyard. There's like 20 acres around this house.
Who are these people?
And the master had a clawfoot tub open in the bedroom.
No.
So you could like soak in your tub in your master. It was so crazy. And it was the cool. I'm like gonna rent this house like every other weekend.
Did this house have its own sex dungeon?
It didn't.
Well,
but that doesn't mean we didn't make one. Bethany, what were you up to this weekend?
That's a really good question. What was I up to this weekend? What was I doing this weekend?
Did you see your boyfriend?
I did a little bit. So Saturday. So Friday was Dennis's rock and roll show.
Oh, he's in a band.
He's in a band. And I know I had said that you were going to be my plus one, but then I knew that you were out of town.
I'm sorry.
No, that's totally fine. And they sold it out. And in one evening, I met Dennis's best friends mm-hmm. and his parents.
Wait, you had never met any of these people before?
I had never met any of them. I'm sorry. My nose is like running. I just keep wiping it.
That's okay.
Yeah, I met...
You can wipe it on my shirt.
Thanks. Thank you. yeah, I met his best friend. I met his best friend. I met his best friend. I met his mom. I met his dad.
Yeah.
I met all of his old bandmates. I met all... like, and then I had several people come up and be like, oh, I know you from his Instagram. And it was... super overwhelming, but they were all so nice. And then they performed, and he is the lead singer and also plays guitar. And
doesn't that surprise me about the guy that you're dating?
And
you guys are so perfect for each other.
I am so grateful to Miran, because I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to watch him without running on stage and ripping his clothes off, because there's nothing hotter than a musician.
No, I agree. I dated this guy freshman year of college just because he would play the guitar and sing to me.
Yes, it's so hot. There's something so hot about it.
What is that song? Wonderwall? Who sings Wonderwall?
Oasis?
No. Okay, Oasis. But then there's this other band, Stone.
Stone Temple Pilots?
Yeah, what's the song that they sing that's really hot?
I don't know.
Any song that they sing is basically hot. Those are like the two songs that my freshman year boyfriend would sing to me.
It's so sexy. And so Miran told me to focus on how proud I was of him rather than how sexy I found him.
Okay.
And that helped, because I did not jump on stage and rip his clothes off, but I was close.
Is that like when guys are having sex and they want to last longer, so they think about math?
Yeah. Yes.
Lady boner at bay.
I was thinking about my multiplication table. can I just show you a quick video?
Wait, you took a video of him on stage?
I took all videos of him on stage.
A rock star boyfriend is essentially what every 16-year-old girl wants. So congratulations. You've achieved everything. No, stop it. No, stop it. I'm so attracted to your boyfriend right now. And I'm married. This is wrong. Great aesthetics. Love his coat and the mint colored guitar.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's a real rock star.
He's really good. They're all really good.
Okay, first of all, that music wasn't heinous. Like, I didn't want to cover my ears.
No, I know. And for the longest time, he kept saying, oh, by the way, I'm in a band and blah, blah, blah. Do you want to hear our music? And I kept changing the subject because I didn't want them to be bad. And I didn't want to hear how bad they were. And then he finally played it for me. And I was like, oh, you guys are actually good.
So I have another very close friend. She was one of my bridesmaids whose husband is in a band.
Uh-huh.
And I go see them from time to time.
Yeah.
Not my cup of tea, perhaps?
Yeah.
But I want to be supportive.
Of course.
I would, from what I just saw in that video, I'd actually enjoy going to Dennis's show.
Yes, they're good. And I told Dennis, too, I was like, by the way, I don't really love music all that much.
You and I were having this conversation the other day.
Yeah.
I like boppy songs.
Right. I love a bop. Yeah. I love Seven Rings. I love, you know, the early 2000s pop, the golden age of you know, Max Martin music. I love that stuff.
Or like Jessie J, Bang Bang. That's a great bop. Or Nicki Minaj, Starships. That's like an amazing bop.
Love a bop. But like, when people are like, have you heard of, you know, Haley and the Soul Crushers? I'm like, no. I don't really.
And I'm not really the type of person to sit down and listen to an album from start to finish.
Right.
As the artist intended it to be listened. I'm just like, give me a break. I would like to listen to a podcast instead.
Exactly. And like, also, and I get so in my feelings about like anything that if a song is sad, I'm sad for weeks. Like, so I cannot afford for my own mental health to listen to a song that might make me sad.
Okay.
So I was nervous, but no. So they were amazing. So they performed on Friday, and then Saturday I had Ariel, and Sunday I had a photo shoot for Ariel. So it was a busy weekend, but I saw his band. I met his parents.
By the way, your Ariel photos looked TheBomb.com.
Thank you. I'm going to be spamming y'all with my aerial photos soon.
So if you haven't seen, first of all, Bethany, Can you just like explain Ariel to somebody who's never, just like very quickly?
Yes. So it's a circus art.
Yes.
And it is one really, 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 really long piece of fabric.
Yeah.
That loops over itself. So.
And you're hanging from the ceiling.
And you're hanging from.
At like to the tune of 30 feet in the air.
Yeah. And you're, so it's just two pieces of fabric ultimately that you climb like a rope and then you like weave your body through and tie your body in knots around and stuff like
Got
that.
Got it. Yeah. So if you haven't seen Bethany's Ariel photo shoot yet, head over to at Miss Bethany Watson. That's MS Bethany Watson on Instagram because damn girl.
Yeah, we haven't gotten the retouched photos yet, but I posted a raw one and
you are working that.
Dude, it's all about lighting. We just had really good lighting and a lot of smoke.
I'm hitting the microphone with my coffee cup by accident. Okay. So sorry.
So that was the weekend. I'm glad that you had a good weekend. We should all go to a country home.
I'm all over Zillow, like Harding stuff that I can't necessarily afford alone. But would you like to go 50-50 with me?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll put it on my vision board.
Okay.
You don't have to have a charming country home in the Catskills in order to decorate your home the way that you want it to be.
You're right. I don't want to believe it in my heart, but you're right.
Yeah, I know I'm right. And Joybird is going to help you create the apartment or the home or the studio or the cabin that you really, really love.
If I just happened to buy a country cabin like tomorrow, per se, I would 100% fill it with Joybird.
Yeah, but even if you have like, Dennis has an apartment in Brooklyn, he just bought a couch from Joybird. He's so excited because they're making it by hand as we speak. It's good quality and it's exactly the way he wants it.
So joybird.com has been a site that I go to regularly just because they have the coolest styles. You get to basically make your furniture from scratch. You pick the style of perhaps the sofa that you want. You get to choose the fabric. They do it for you exclusively.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not pre-made. And then they ship it to you.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit traditional, a little bit mid-century modern. I'm a mid-century modern girl.
You are. Mm-hmm. And Joybird believes that you should never settle when it comes to your home furnishings and that you should always have the freedom to be boldly original. So from your idea to reality, they empower you to create the space and furniture that brings you joy.
Joybird brings me joy every day.
You can
It's not crazy expensive. Mm-hmm. Like you are getting a custom couch for a very affordable price.
Yes. With Joybird, you get one-of-a-kind furniture made to your unique taste. So whether you are like Kathleen and you love mid-century modern or you're more contemporary, you can customize everything in an amazing array of fabric choices, from rich buttery leather to plush velvets to every color imaginable. And if you have kids or pets or kids and pets, you can get kid and pet-friendly upholstery options available as well.
I'm just pulling it up right now because I want to show you this chair that I love from Joybird.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that. Wouldn't that look great in a country house if I owned one?
Darling.
I love it. It's called the Soto apartment chair. Love it. Love
See,
the
it's an apartment chair. It's for your apartment.
I love the one underneath it too called the Hughes chair.
I love it when chairs are named after people. By the way, they have free personal design consultants too. So that if you're like, I like a lot of things, but I don't know what specifically to do, then you reach out to them and they'll help you figure it out.
And one of the best things about Joybird is the 365-day home trial. Skip the furniture store. Just bring the showroom to your home. Mm-hmm. You can sit on it, sleep on it, break it in. And if you don't love your Joybird, return it for a full refund. Who does that?
No one does that except Joybird because they love you. See how Joybird is revolutionizing online furniture shopping and create the furniture that brings you joy today at joybird.com/taste. So when you go to joybird.com/taste, you're going to get an exclusive offer for 25% off your first order by using the code TASTE. So again, go to joybird.com/taste and use the code TASTE. So here's my problem.
Okay.
And this is a problem that I've had over and over and over in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And it means that I need to learn a lesson from it. And I think that lesson is A, putting up good boundaries in the first place. But second, I think the lesson is how to break up with a friend.
Yes. This is tricky. So you're breaking up with a friend.
So I have this friend. And I met her pretty quickly upon moving to New York.
Mm-hmm.
And I see her pretty regularly.
Are you talking about me?
No. Oh my God, can you imagine?
It really did sound like you're talking about me.
No. No.
In which case, you can't break up with me. We're business partners.
I love you so much. You're one of my very favorite people in this world. No, I see her pretty regularly. She actually works at a place I go to a lot. So I find myself avoiding that place.
Mm-hmm.
I find myself dodging her texts. I find myself not going to events that she's going to be at,
yeah,
because she's become really needy. And okay. She's one of those friends where, like, I don't feel like I can be myself in front of her because uh-huh. she's sort of, I don't, I just feel like she sort of, she doesn't see me as I really am. She sees me as like this idealized version of a person,
okay.
which makes me sound like I'm full of myself. It's no. not, it's just like, and so it's just become really uncomfortable. And I've had some other people say too, like, don't, you know, like, don't accept rides from her. Like, she really is just trying to get to be gotcha. Like your best friend. She wants to wear your skin.
Gotcha.
So I know her well enough that, like, if I pull away, it's going to be obvious. And so I need to figure out a way to, like, confront her and end the friendship,
yeah.
but not make it weird, because I don't want to keep avoiding this
no,
friend
this
group
place,
and like
yeah.
this place. And just like, it's really uncomfortable. And this has happened to me before yeah. where, and I just ghost the friend and have just like stopped going. Like, I used to work with a friend that I ended up stopped being friends with when I lived in Minneapolis, and I would just take a different way around the office so I never had to pass her, and which is just stupid and dumb, and I should have been braver.
So two ways of going about this. There is a friend in my friend group who, oh shoot, sorry.
What's the alert? Now read it to the class.
I literally can't. It's naughty. It's from Pornhub.com.
Kathleen, they send push alerts?
There's just something about two girls that just does it for me.
The alert just says, two girls.
Two girls.
Watch now.
There's a girl in my friend group who a bunch of us felt like she was disappointing us over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't necessarily not want to be friends with her anymore. We just wanted to distance ourselves.
Okay.
And I think this is different from your situation because we were very close to her at okay. one point. And your friend situation sounds like maybe she was just like on the outskirts of your circle.
Yeah, like other people are better friends with her.
Yeah.
But I, you know, we've hung out enough that she would call me her friend. Like in yes. all normal ways, we should be calling each other friends.
So what we did, myself included, is we lowered our expectations.
Okay.
Because there's this idea that you hold people to certain expectations, and then when they fail to meet those expectations, you're really disappointed. So yeah. we sort of erased all expectations.
What does that look like in practice?
It looks like, hey, you want to hang out? Okay, cool. But when that person cancels, you're not upset at them because you're like, I figured you would cancel anyway. The expectation wasn't that you were actually really going to hang out.
Gotcha.
So I think that you can apply this to your situation in that you are going to expect that she's not going to be a good friend.
Yes.
And so you're removing expectations of her actually being like sort of like a decent human being instead yeah. of just like somebody who, because she follows you mostly on social media and yeah. because she doesn't really know you, sees only what you put on social. And that's like only the best parts of your life.
Yeah. Right.
Remove expectations that she is a human that you want to hang out with at all.
Okay.
And then ghost her. I don't know if I would... Just I don't know. Her. I don't know. How would you say I don't want to be your friend anymore?
That's the really hard thing. And that's because we all have that script when it comes to a partner. When you want to break up with a partner, you understand, you've seen it in movies, you've seen it on TV, you've done it in your personal life. Here's what you say to them. And there's certain ways to break up with romantic partners. With friends, it's not as cut and dry.
Yeah.
So I did a little searching on the Google machine and I found this article on the website Tonic.
Okay.
Tonic.vice.com. So it's part of the Vice world.
It's part of Vice.
And it's really, really helpful. So it was published last year and it's from this therapist named Elizabeth Brown. And she does a really good job of saying, okay, these are the different kinds of friends that you're looking to sort of break up with. Here's yeah. how to do it. So this one doesn't really apply to me, but this is really helpful. So I'm just like going to go through them.
Yeah, go through the list.
Okay. So if you have a friend who says things that make you feel bad about yourself, here's how to break up with them. Say, quote, it really hurt me that you said X, Y, and Z.
Uh-huh.
And this isn't the first time it's happened. I don't want to be friends with someone who acts this way towards me.
Yeah, I understand that 100%.
Right. And then it like gives them concrete examples. It shows them how they violated the friend contract. And then it also lets you just say like, I'm not interested.
Yeah.
You don't bring me joy. I don't have time.
I love this straightforwardness.
Yeah.
I broke up with somebody, a friend, a long time ago because they would just say crappy things.
Yeah.
But I moved out. So there was like a physical severance of the relationship.
That helps.
But this is really good advice.
Yeah. And my friend who I used to work with back in Minneapolis, she would say these little like mean, snide things. And I didn't even realize it until my mom pointed it out.
Bye.
Yeah. Right. So that's how you do that.
You know what I like about this first point is that it gives that person tools to move forward and not make the same mistakes with another friend in the past.
Sorry, I was just opening my water. Yes.
But just because you've been a shitty friend to somebody else doesn't mean that you're going to be a shitty friend to everybody. And it also doesn't necessarily mean that you don't deserve friendships.
Right. And wouldn't you like feedback?
Yes, of course.
I mean, if, you know, for all the people who've ghosted me, I'd like to know why.
Yeah.
Just so I don't have to, you know, do that again.
Yeah, I understand.
Okay, so here's another scenario. If this is a friend that you argue with half the time you're with them,
yeah,
say to them, it seems like we've been arguing a lot. I'm sad about this, but I think we should take some space. It's just too hard.
I understand that. Sometimes space makes the heart grow fonder. Sometimes mm-hmm. space is like, wow, I don't really need you in my life.
Yeah, and space gives you the time to sort of like distance yourself more and more.
And it also just gives that other person to like, wow, I've been such a crappy friend that this person actually needs to say to me, I need space.
Yeah.
And gives them a chance to reevaluate.
Yeah. Okay. If they talk about you behind your back.
Yes.
This is a big one for people. Before you do anything, make sure you have like concrete things they've done in your head.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you're going to say to them, I was really hurt when you talked about me to X after I asked you not to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And also remember when you talked about me to Y.
Mm-hmm.
It really doesn't work for me that this keeps happening, and I don't think I can continue to be your friend anymore.
That's great.
That's amazing.
Concrete evidence.
Concrete evidence. If the friend gets defensive, lashes out, cries, or otherwise tries to guilt you into remaining friends, just say, no, this isn't working for me,
mm-hmm.
which is brilliant. And I think that we need to start saying that to more things all the time.
Not working for me. Okay. So, but let's just say you say that to somebody and then they John Cusack you and stand outside your window with a boombox.
Call the cops. That's stalking. That's legit stalking.
What if it's like a really good song? What if it's like Britney's Hit Me Baby One More Time?
The song still exists even after they go to jail.
Is it still considered breaking up with a friend if you're dancing to their John Cusack song inside the house while they play it outside crying begging for your friendship?
You can dance while you phone the police. This one is the one that applies to me.
Okay.
If you need to dump a friend that you'll still have to see, like a coworker or a neighbor,
yeah.
This is what you say. Hey, insert friend name here. Sometimes friends drift apart. I wish you well. There's no hard feelings. We can say hi and stuff, but don't have to feel pressured to spend time together.
Interesting.
Sometimes friends drift apart.
That is true.
And then if they cry, you say, no, this isn't working for me.
That's
a big sigh.
If someone said that to me, I would just be like, WTF,
mm-hmm.
You need to give me more reason. And in which case are you prepared to say to her, I feel like you want to be me and I feel like you want to wear my skin?
I think, yeah, if she, yeah, you're right. You're right. Because that's pretty nonspecific. I think I'd have to say,
I feel like you're using me because I have more Instagram followers than you.
No, that's not.
That's not an uncommon thing, Bethany, though.
I don't know what I would say, because then I think I would be inclined to say, I feel like you don't really, really know the real version of me. But then she can come back with, well, let's get to know each other better, which is not what I want.
Yeah.
So maybe I feel like you're only interested in the pretty stuff.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm just looking for friendships that they're invested in all of me and not just
the surface Instagram.
Yeah.
And you could just say, listen, this is not sparking joy, and send her a gif of Marie Kondo.
Yeah. Maybe. I mean, yeah. I'm cleaning
house. Is
that
cold?
I don't know.
I'm doing spring cleaning and you're first on my list, bitch. Don't do that.
The problem is, but it's like, what else do you do? Because they can come back. They can argue their way. And at some point, I think you just have to say, look, this isn't something that I'm looking to argue or negotiate. This is how I feel.
What if you take like a gif of Cinderella and then Photoshop her head into it? Like when Cindy is sweeping and her head is rolling out with the dust.
She doesn't even get to be Cinderella. She's just the head.
She's going to be like, that girl Bethany is so mean.
It's so hard.
Out with the old and with the new.
Oh, it's so hard.
Listen, one person's trash is another person's treasure.
I would also not say that.
She's got other friends. She's got other friends.
Yeah, it's tough. But I think I have to try that. Sometimes people drift apart. And I there's no hard feelings. I just, my life is so crazy right now. I really just need to focus on you know, a handful of friends. And you didn't make the cut. I don't know. And I'm, and right now I just need to like limit the amount of.
Yeah.
I would. And then I'm just going to trail off.
So are you going to wait for her to ask you to hang out? Or are you going to like text her today?
I think I'm going to wait for her to want to hang
out.
Yeah,
I would do that. And how often does she ask you to hang out?
Once every 3 or 4 weeks.
That's pretty often.
Yeah.
Does she ask you to go to events with her? Or is it like, let's get dinner, just the two of us?
Let's get dinner, just the two of us. Hmm. Yeah. And I've done it before and it's painful.
Yeah.
Because it's that thing where she doesn't really talk a lot. She just kind of stares at me and like wants me to talk. And you listening know me. I'm awful at this.
Like this podcast
is exhausting.
Is the only place where you talk and then you're mute the rest of the week.
Pretty much mute the rest of the week. It's really, and to be the one who's driving the conversation, and then I just go into interview mode, and now I'm just interviewing the other person because I don't know what else to do. It's just an exhausting evening.
So what I've thought about doing recently is, because I'm going through this thing where when I get together with my friends, I don't want to talk about other people.
Mm, yeah.
I only want to talk about ideas and concepts.
Yes.
So to the same sort of concept of you going out to dinner with this friend and she only wants to hear about what's going on in your life because she wants to be you.
I never said that.
I'm saying it.
I feel like this is making me sound really full
not,
of myself.
It's 100% not. And she's interested in you because what you put on social is interesting, but it's not necessarily who you are to the extent of who you are in terms of the deep troves of what makes you tick.
Right. Because some of that stuff you can't photograph.
Exactly. So do you think it would be weird if I went out to dinner with friends with like flashcards of like big picture ideas that I would like to discuss with them?
No, I think that's a great idea.
Okay. That's what I'm doing from now on. That's what I'm doing from now on. So you don't just like resort to, oh, like this guy and that girl and this person and
yeah. Or you know, if you are someone who has like, Kathleen, you have a pretty high profile job.
Yeah,
sometimes that's all people want to hear about.
Of course. Yeah.
And sometimes people want like, is there any dirt you can blah blah blah.
Yeah,
that gets to be a really tough position to be in.
What celebrities have you seen recently? Yep.
And as people get drunker, sometimes they get a little bit
of
more,
of course,
brash.
And
so that's tough. So I think especially in that situation, flashcards are great.
Yeah, like sometimes I just want to talk about what's going on with the economy in London. And I,
so how's Brexit going?
I don't want to talk about like what you discussed with your therapist this week.
Or, you know, if you're listening and you're in a group of friends where like something is going on with one of them and that friend isn't there right now, it can be so hard to not gossip.
That's exactly. Yeah. That happened to me this weekend. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's, there are places and times to talk about other people.
Sure.
When you're trying to work through emotional situations and get over mountains and under mountains and whatever. But I mostly just want to talk about like, what are some ways that we can save electricity?
Or where did this cabin get these rolled glass windows?
Yeah.
If you have any tips on how to kindly break up with a friend.
Or did somebody break up with you and maybe you're still traumatized over it? Like maybe we can learn from the way that person broke up with you and not do it.
Yeah, we would love to hear it. Tweet us at Acquired Podcast or shoot us an email at acquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com. We would love some feedback on this.
Bethany, can I tell you something?
No, I don't want to know.
I don't want to be friends with you anymore.
This isn't working for me anymore.
One of my friends, when we were in the cabin in the Catskills this weekend, she had her period. And I was like, hey, can I give you this tampon I want you to try? It's called Lola.
Yes.
It's amazing. It's organic. And she was like, thank you for this amazing tampon. Mm-hmm. It feels amazing in my vagina.
Is that exactly what she said?
That is what she said.
Look, the FDA doesn't require brands to disclose the list of ingredients in their feminine care products, so most of them don't.
Which blows my mind.
They can put all sorts of synthetic and fragrance-filled stuff in there, and they don't have to tell you.
Because the tissue in your lady taco is literally some of the most delicate tissue that you have on your body.
Yeah, you gotta be careful with that tissue. Major brands use a mix of synthetic ingredients in their products, like rayon and polyester, which is in the shirt you're wearing right now. You don't want it in your tampon.
No.
By the way, their feminine care products could also be treated with harsh chemical cleansing agents, fragrance, dyes, but Lola products are 100% organic cotton with no added chemicals, fragrances, synthetics, or dyes.
Lola's making your period a little bit easier every month because they have a subscription service that's fully customizable to what you want, a mix of products, a mix of absorbencies, the number of boxes you want, frequency of delivery. It's all up to you at Lola's subscription service.
Yeah, you can change, skip, or cancel your subscription at any time. And what we love about Lola too is that they're founded by women for women, because women understand what women are going through, because women.
Amen.
Women. Gynecologist approved, hypoallergenic, individually packaged, perfect for on the go, biodegradable, all natural wipes. They're amazing.
And with every purchase you make with Lola, you're doing some good, because for every purchase, they donate feminine care products to homeless shelters across the United States. And feminine products are one of the things that they run out most quickly in homeless shelters. So
yeah.
I love that.
I love Lola. I love how convenient they are. I love what their company stands for. And we know that you're going to love Lola too. So for 40% off all subscriptions, visit mylola.com and then enter the code TASTE when you subscribe. Again, to get 40% off all subscriptions, visit mylola.com and enter TASTE when you subscribe.
Can I write a love letter to Lola right now?
Yeah, how would you start it?
Dear Lola, uh-huh. I love you.
That's good. Quick and to the point.
Yeah.
So Kathleen.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. So normally, gentle listener, we record on Mondays.
Yes.
To release on Wednesday. Monday was a mess. Right.
Yeah. I was driving back from the mountains and Bethany was kind enough to let me postpone our Monday night.
Yeah. I'm like, get home safely.
It was supposed to be a wine session.
But it was fine. And then Tuesday, something was just in the air. I wasn't feeling great. And then you texted me, Kathleen.
Yeah. So this hasn't happened to me in a long time. And but I'm not one to not talk about this. I have a history with issues with anxiety and depression, and it runs in my family. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a genetic thing that that I've always sort of dealt with.
Yeah.
But on Tuesday, I could not get out of bed. Mm. Like, I couldn't. I had no interest in eating. I had no interest in drinking any water. Mm. I just was in bed, and it was my catacomb.
Oh, honey.
And I'm laughing about it because I've sort of come out on the other side, and just waking up today and like forcing myself to like take a shower and come to Bethany's house so we can record. I'm feeling so much better already, but getting past that hump is really, really hard.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it yesterday. And I just kept texting you, hey, can we postpone 2 hours and then another 2 hours? And then finally I was like, I'm not coming.
And that was and it was totally fine. And I had an idea that it was more, you know, mental and less physical. Like, yeah. I didn't think you had a sore throat. And I hope it's okay. I didn't really text you a bunch yesterday because I figured sometimes you just don't want to be on your phone.
That is totally fine. And it sounds really silly, but in my dark hole yesterday, I had a tough time even just responding mm-hmm. to text messages of my friends that were coming in. And of course, I'm texting you, obviously, because we had plans and I'm not going to leave you hanging. But isn't it crazy how just picking up this small box and moving your fingers to just send a message to somebody feels like an insurmountable thing?
Yeah, it feels overwhelming. I think because you have to put a certain amount of emotional energy into either explaining why you can't do something or just trying to conduct business in whatever way. You have to make sure if it's a professional email, you have to sound professional and you don't want to sound short. And if it's a friend, you don't want to sound angry. And
yeah, exactly.
It feels so overwhelming.
So you've been here before and you were kind of in a funk yesterday too. Yeah. So it worked out, the both of us.
Yeah. But it's a really tough place, and it's really hard to explain to somebody who hasn't been there what it feels like to, like, quite literally, not be able to get yourself out of bed. And I'm glad that you were able to take that day.
Yes.
And you were on vacation, and like everything that was happening yesterday could be rescheduled.
Yeah.
because it's really tough. And the thing that sucks about it is that all you can do, like all you want to do is stay home and not move around. Mm-hmm. But the less you move around, the worse you feel.
Yes.
And like by the end of yesterday, I didn't do much yesterday either. And by the end of the day, I felt awful mm-hmm. because I hadn't moved my body at all. And
you hadn't really gone outside.
Yeah.
I'm lucky that I have a husband who's in the house and he can come and check on me. But do you ever feel that your dark holes of depression, like the days that are really particularly bad, are worse because you live alone?
Yeah. Yeah. Because I don't have someone to like either pull me out or to check on me or to get food.
Yeah.
If I don't want to eat,
yeah.
Get food for me. And yeah. And that can be why people really get isolated if they live alone or if they don't really feel comfortable telling their roommates.
Yeah.
That this is something that they're dealing with, then they can just get super isolated. So I'm really glad that you said something, and I'm really glad that you're also up and around today. But it's interesting timing because our friend Lauren posted something that you brought my attention to, Kathleen, on Instagram literally today.
Lauren used to work with Bethany and I, and mm-hmm. now she has her own radio show in Boston, the TJ Show. She's a co-host on that show. It's on the AMP station, Top 40 up there.
She's an amazing woman. She's super strong, so smart.
Somebody who I've always greatly looked up to.
Mm-hmm. And she posted on Instagram today. It's a picture of her. She's in the hospital. She just had a baby not too long ago.
Adorable little baby named Sophie.
Yeah. And this picture is of her in the hospital, and you can tell she's been crying.
Yes.
Which stops you right there because people don't post that on Instagram.
No,
normally.
They don't. Just if you want to follow, what's Lauren's Instagram name?
It's at Lauren Ray, LORENRAYE.
Yeah. She's definitely worth a follow.
Yeah. And she just wrote, check out my story for more info. I haven't been on here much in terms of updating you because honestly, aside from my amazing baby, these last 4 weeks have been fucking awful. My postpartum recovery has been horrific. I feel like I can't be a mom yet. I'm just this zombie inside of a body that used to be mine, but I don't recognize it at all anymore. And I don't mean from a vanity standpoint. I haven't been able to walk, pee, poop, or do anything normal. I now require someone else to be with me around my kid because I'm on serious drugs and can't be trusted to take care of her the way a mom needs to be. Mm. My mom has had to take a trip up from New Jersey at the last minute, not once, but twice, so that she could help out. My sister-in-law was here this weekend, thank God, or else we wouldn't have had anyone to watch Sophie. I don't write any of this to gain sympathy. I'm a strong motherfucker, which she is.
Yes.
I also just hate when people pretend that their life is perfect because it's bullshit. No one's is. My life right now is beautiful because Sophie is fantastic, but it's also a fucking nightmare. My pregnancy was amazing, and now everything about my postpartum journey is leaving me feeling miserable, broken, and just plain defeated. I know I'm not going to die. I know things can always be worse. I know I'm supposed to stay positive, but it's also totally normal and okay to have those moments where you say, this fucking sucks. So here's mine. I'll be fine. I'll get through this. Sometime, hopefully soon, I'll feel like a mom and not like some lady who lives at a hospital or in a constant state of discomfort where the focus is on herself instead of her kid. Someday I'll wake up without feeling like crap, and I'll be able to start getting the hang of actually being a mom. I look forward to those days. Sophie's fucking awesome, and I just can't wait to finally be able to be in this with her. It will happen. My body just needs time. And then she talks about how she hasn't really been able to respond to people because it's, like she says, sometimes it's
overwhelming.
It's overwhelming to pick up your phone and do that when you're just trying to survive.
Yeah. What I've started doing with my friends when I'm kind of in the dark hole, I just text back, dark hole.
Dark hole.
And they know.
Yeah. That's great.
They know that I just need a few days mm-hmm. and that if they send me a text message to check up on me, I may not respond, but mm-hmm. I'm going to read and know that they're thinking of me.
That's really good. It's like so much about communication with the people that you feel safe doing that with.
Yeah.
When I was like in a really bad state of depression and my depression wasn't being treated yet, we couldn't find kind of the right way to treat it.
Yeah.
I had a ring that I would wear. And I told my friend who worked with me at the time, if you see me wearing this ring, it just means I'm having a bad day. It means my depression's really bad today. So don't expect the same level of excited Bethany that you normally have. And it was just one specific ring that I only wore when I was really down. And that was so helpful because then she saw it and she could advocate for me at work too. With people are like, is Bethany okay today? She could be the one to say, yeah, she's fine. She's just having a day,
you know,
which is helpful.
That's a really great way to, for somebody who, I mean, God, I'm so lucky. I was able to take the day that I needed in my dark hole, stay in my bed, stay in my apartment and not move or anything. But that luxury isn't afforded to, I want to say 99% of people.
Oh, right.
Like a lot of people in the workforce, they don't have sick days, or mm-hmm. they have to save their sick days for their children, or they have children, so they have to get out of bed. And wearing that ring, letting other people know what that ring means, and even just looking down at your hand, it signifies to yourself that you're allowing yourself to just be a little bit different that day.
Yeah.
And maybe not put out as much energy or as much happiness or as much feeling as you would on a normal day.
Yeah. It's tough because you do feel like you have to be on
yes.
all the time, and you don't. And, mm-hmm. you know, one thing to remember, I think, is that we are all so self-obsessed that we assume everyone else is as obsessed with us as we are.
They're not.
And 99% of people are like too busy worrying that other people are obsessed with them to be obsessed with you, which yeah. is kind of nice.
Yeah. Nobody cares about you.
No one cares.
I'm joking.
not like that. But, and you don't, you know, it wasn't like a diamond ring. It was like this old ring I had that I found in my jewelry box. And I was like, okay, this is going to be it. And yeah, it was really helpful.
This is gonna sound crazy because I'm so fortunate also in the respect that I have a really amazing group of girlfriends that I can go away with on the weekend. But I think that it was having to be on mm-hmm. all the time for 3 days straight.
That's a lot.
I hadn't built in a day to take for myself mm-hmm. after going on vacation with my friends. But I do moving forward need to build in that day.
Yeah.
So I don't go into that dark hole because I know I have a day to restore myself.
You are an introvert with extrovert rising.
Yes.
So like you definitely need some alone time.
Yeah.
For extroverts, a weekend with a 3 day weekend with your friends sounds like amazing.
Pumps them up.
Yeah.
Gets them ready to like go back to work.
Oof, my God. Yeah. I would need at least 1 day of recovery.
Yeah. Gentle listener, excuse me. Oh my God. I just burped coffee. I'm disgusting.
You're not. You're real, Kathleen.
I'm real. We're not going to edit that.
No, we're keeping that in.
Gentle listener, maybe there's like a code word that you want to come up with your friends mm-hmm. or your parents or your husband or wife or children mm-hmm. if they're old enough to grasp the concept of somebody who's sad sometimes.
Yeah.
To make life easier for you.
Yeah, it's worth it. And it's worth having those conversations with people who you feel safe having them with.
And don't be afraid to have them
mm-hmm.
because people are generally more responsive than you think they're going to be.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad that you did that, Kathleen.
Thanks, Bethany. Mm-hmm. Speaking of spring cleaning.
Yeah.
If you're thinking about maybe it's time to start spring cleaning some of the unhealthy habits that you've been acquiring lately.
Yes.
We love this app called Noom mm-hmm. because they make it so easy to use your phone to adapt a healthier lifestyle.
I think the majority of us know that we can eat healthier and have better eating habits and exercise more effectively.
Yeah.
You don't have to be exercising for 2 hours a day. You can exercise really effectively for a short period of time and get really, really good results. And that's why Noom helps you out. With Noom, you have personalized training. You have your own support team for less than the price of a single appointment with a nutritionist or a personal trainer. So you have a goal specialist who's a behavior change professional, a nutrition expert, a fitness trainer, all in one. And there's a community that's there for you. You have group discussions with fellow Noom members to keep you encouraged, to give you advice, to keep you on your health journey.
What I love about Noom is that they're all about learning, not dieting.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, unless you're really taking a hard look at the way that you're exercising or what you're putting into your body, you don't get any results in the way that you want to get results
yeah.
because you need to look at it on an app. And Noom is the built-in way to be like, hey, good morning. Here's your healthy lifestyle delivered to you.
It takes the agony out of food tracking because they have one of the biggest food databases available. So you track your meal habits, you visualize portion sizes, you get to see calorie density at a glance. And I love Noom for this reason. They don't say that you can't have certain foods.
Yeah.
They don't have good or bad foods. Yeah. They take morality out of foods because food shouldn't have morality associated with it. They teach you about moderation. So Noom is designed for results. It's out with the old habits, in with the new. So sign up for your trial today at Noom. That's Noom.com/taste. What do you have to lose? Visit Noom.com/taste to start your trial today. Again, that's Noom, N as in Nancy, OOM as in mother.com/taste to start losing weight for good.
Since this is our fake morning show, do you want to talk about some headlines right
yes,
now?
Yes.
Okay, so God, I don't know. Tristan Thompson,
who's that?
Is the baby daddy of Khloe Kardashian.
Okay.
Apparently, they're split up again and for good.
Wait, he cheated on her?
Because he hooked up with her little sister's friend. That's effed up. I can't keep them straight. But anyway, what would you do if your boyfriend cheated on you with your little sister's friend?
I would break up with the boyfriend immediately.
Avi.
B of all, break up with the little sister Avi. And her friend.
Avi, break up with your sister.
Break up with everyone. No, everyone. Everyone's gone. All of them gone.
Okay, here's another one. This is all from Teen Vogue. This is where I get all my news every
day. They're a great periodical.
The Vatican has a secret plan for when priests father children.
Wait, what's the plan?
Should I open up this headline?
Yes, open up that headline.
This is written by Brittany McNamara from teenvogue.com.
Shout out.
As no surprise, some Catholic priests break their vows of celibacy.
Yeah, y'all be having sex with all over the place.
I really...
Like nuns, children, stop it. Knock it off.
I think that priests should be allowed to have sex, but is that too controversial for me to say on this podcast?
No, just don't have sex with children or nuns.
Don't have sex with children or nuns.
Like maybe a consenting adult.
Let priests get married. Yeah. It would solve a lot of issues. Anyway, but it appears that the Vatican has a sanctioned plan for when that breach results in a child. According to CBS News, the Vatican has a plan for when priests father children despite the vow of celibacy when they enter priesthood. The confidential document was reportedly shown to the leader of a support group for people whose fathers are priests, and the Vatican confirmed to CBS News and other outlets that the document is for internal use.
Wait, so what's the plan? Or they don't share it, they just share that they have a plan.
Let's see.
Do they send them to some like special school for kids who have like superpowers?
They don't give the plan, but they just say that such a plan exists.
Well, now I don't trust that plan because I bet it's awful.
It's
they haven't shown that they can be trusted when it comes to this issue. We'll just put it that way.
Oh Lord.
Can we change the subject to something funnier?
Yeah. Here's the next headline. Let me just read this. Halsey wants to make a gay version of Twilight. I'm in
for that as well.
I love vampires.
Yes. I smell poo. I think one of my cats just pooed. Please hold.
Or was it me? I don't know.
Did you just poo?
No, not today. Not yet. Anyway, as soon as I finish this cup of coffee, I don't smell it.
I smell something.
Maybe you pooed and you don't know.
Did I poo?
Bethany literally just looked around to gaze at her butt. By the way, your look today, Bethany's wearing these like high-waisted 70s style jeans with sort of like a colorful thread on the pocket, two pockets right in the front, some square pockets right in the front of her pants. And then she has her baby metal shirt plugged in. I'm such a techie. Tucked in with this like leather belt that is too big for her, so it's kind of knotted off and it's hanging down. You look amazeballs today.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
It's just like such a cool look.
These jeans, I bought them at Anthropologie on super duper sale.
Yeah.
And I love them. I'm loving the 70s vibe right now. And if you haven't looked up baby metal videos on YouTube, you will feel high. Without being high, because I think I've talked about baby metal before.
Yes.
On the pod. It's just these three adorable Japanese girls who front a heavy metal band where all of the band members are dressed like skeletons and they dress like goth princesses and they're adorable and they sing about chocolate, but they're fronted by a heavy metal band.
What more could you want?
I mean, you know, baby metal.
And speaking of 70s, also from teenvogue.com, Zendaya's Tommy Hilfiger collaboration is giving us major 70s vibes.
I love a 70s vibe.
Got to check that out. Tommy Hilfiger. Show it. I'm just gonna keep talking over you like we're women on The View. I can't watch that show anymore. They just talk over each other.
I can't handle. This is a little inside baseball, but three separate times my agent asked, do you want me to get you an audition for The View? Because like they kept having openings.
Yeah.
As people kept leaving. And I was just like, I can't, because I know that I'm gonna say something so stupid that's gonna come back and haunt me. I already probably have.
Yeah.
Ugh, I just can't. That show scares me. I can't do it.
I really think that The View needs to start over. Yeah. I used to watch it every day. I used to like it.
Yeah.
Because I like to see opposing viewpoints argue different things that are going on in the news. Mm-hmm. I want to see what both sides have to say. Mm-hmm. I just think they're choosing the wrong women. I think they need to wipe it clean and start with younger hosts.
Yes.
A more millennial gen. What's underneath us?
Gen Y.
Gen Y. Some millennials, some Gen Ys, and let's go from there.
Yeah. I agree with you.
I would DVR it every day.
Yeah,
if it were too. Young girls.
Yeah, I would too. I don't feel like I can really identify with any of the women who have been on there recently. Well,
okay, I'm going to edit that young women. Yeah. I don't know why. It's just like a go-to. I don't know why I do that.
I like being called a girl, but only by other girls.
Yes.
If a dude calls me a girl, I'm like, no.
Yeah. It's like the same thing as little lady.
Yeah.
It's like immediately just this little F lady. You reaction comes out of my gut.
Little lady. Kathleen, what did you learn this week? Do you know?
I learned. Take it away, Bethany.
I learned that if you are clothes shopping and you find something you really like and it fits you and it makes you feel amazing and you are able to, buy two of that thing, because if it makes you feel that amazing, you're going to want to wear it a lot.
There are quite a lot of things I own that I'm like, especially shoes. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I should have bought a second pair for when I wore out the first pair.
Yeah. And I seldom do it. And actually these jeans that you're talking about, I wished I had done it. And then I went back and bought a second pair because A, they were on super sale, and B, whenever they were dirty, I would just gaze at the laundry hamper and being like, oh, I wish that they were clean.
Yeah.
I wish there was a way that they could become clean. Well, I guess they'll be dirty forever. And then I would, you know, not wear them.
You got to put them in the bath and stomp on them.
That's what I've been doing. So just go ahead and buy that second pair, because you're going to wish you had it anyway.
I finally know what I learned this week.
What'd you learn this week, Kathleen?
I learned that if you've been getting a lot of spam calls.
Yes.
Yeah.
What the hell?
I know. They've doubled in. Oh, okay. So I'll tell you why.
Why?
Your spam calls have increased because there's been some court rulings where if a human is the one who dials your number instead of a robot and then connects you to that robot, it's technically not a spam call anymore. Is that not the most infuriating thing you've ever heard?
I've been getting nonstop spam calls, nonstop.
Yeah.
And it's driving me crazy.
There's this podcast that I really like listening to. It's called Reply All. It's pretty popular. You've probably heard of it.
It's great.
And they did an episode on spam calls. It is episode 135. It's called Robocall /bang bang.
Okay.
And there are a couple of reasons why you're getting these spam calls. A, you may have a really shady app on your phone that when you were downloading it, you hit accept. And part of the acceptance agreement is that they now have the rights to use your cellular phone number to third parties, blah, 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 blah. Yes. Go through your apps. Do like a spring cleaning of your phone.
I probably have a lot of shady apps. Yes.
So there was a guy on Reply All who's reporting on this, and he had downloaded a game to play with his nieces and nephews that, sure enough, when he hit accept, because the kids were like standing over his shoulder, probably like, download, play with us, he didn't really go through it. And I mean, does anybody really go through it? No.
No.
Never. You always just hit accept and whatever. Also, this is really, really, really scary. There are services, sometimes directly through your phone company, so like AT&T, Verizon, whatever, that people can not only find your phone number and spam call you, but they can also locate where you are. So if you go on vacation to, say, California or Florida, and you have a New York number, once you start traveling to those places, you may start getting phone calls and spam calls from that area code that you're currently in. Is that not crazy?
That's terrifying.
So that was really happening in 2017, 2018. And a lot of the phone companies have then since updated their policies on who they give you like your location to.
Jeez.
But sometimes that's in an app download too.
That's so scary.
Yeah.
Okay.
And on top of it, have you ever gotten a phone call that's like, I always get the one, hey, it's Julie from the Small Business Center, and
yes,
your loan has been approved.
Julie, I never talked to you. Yeah. I don't like you. I don't. Why do you have my phone number?
Yeah.
You're the worst.
And until I was a small business owner, I was like, I don't own a business, yeah. Julie.
Julie, you don't know anything about me.
There are some robocalls that are like, hey, do you not have insurance for your family? Like, this is a really affordable way to get insurance. And there are people who fall for it. And there's this insurance company, this sort of like fake ass insurance company, that's making millions and millions of dollars off of these calls that they're sending out to people who fall for it. Isn't that
fake ass insurance?
Go through your apps.
Yeah.
Like, check the policies of your phone provider, because it's not okay. Bounty hunters can buy your location to come and get you. Like,
wait, what?
Yes.
Wait, what?
From your phone, from like the same services that spam, bounty hunters can come and get your location. So they can come and get you. listen to what episode 135 on Reply All. This is literally the longest what I learned this week.
That's okay. I'll link that episode to the show notes. Yes. So open up the show notes. You'll see it there.
It's a great one. You're going to want to subscribe.
Amazing. Thank you so much for being with us this week, literally today. This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath. Follow us on our socials. Kathleen, where can people find you?
I'm at WebGirlKathleen on everything.
I'm Ms. Bethany Watson on Instagram and Facebook. I'm Radio Bethany on Twitter. If you know anyone who works at Twitter, need to get that name changed. Don't want to lose my verification. Can't figure that out. Get a hold of me.
I'm so sad for you.
It's a real tough.
And your blue
check
mark.
Find us on Twitter at Acquired Podcast.
On Instagram, Acquired Taste Podcast.
On Facebook, facebook.com/AcquiredTastePodcast.
You can email us at AcquiredTastePodcast@gmail.com.
Send us mail. We love a mail. An Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
And if you want to leave us a voicemail, you can do so at the phone number 917-994-0353. But listen, if you leave us a voicemail, chances are we're going to play it back on this podcast.
Yeah, so just so you know.
But they're hilarious. I love listening to them.
So funny. Rate, review, and subscribe. 5 stars really does help us, helps push us up in the rankings so more people can find us and spread the word. And we hope you have a wonderful Wednesday or any day that you're listening to this. Mm-hmm. We'll talk to you next week.